This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
We pray in the words of St. Anselm of Canterbury. Jesus, as a mother, you gather your people to you. You are gentle with us as a mother with her children. Often you weep over our sins and our pride. Tenderly, you draw us from hatred and judgment. You comfort us in sorrow and bind up our wounds. In sickness, you nurse us, and with pure milk, you feed us. Jesus, by your dying, we are born to new life. By your anguish and labor, we come forth in joy. Amen. Please be seated. I call your attention to the screens as we begin with a short video.
I'm so bored. I wish I had something to do.
Thanks for letting me sleep in, kids.
If you make a mess in the kitchen, please let me know so I can clean it up. Raising kids is so easy. I just love driving around all day. Oh, I never have to repeat myself. They always listen so carefully.
Oh, look, an empty box of cereal. Love it.
Just wipe it on your sleeve.
It's pretty cold, but you don't need a coat.
Oh, you don't have to push in your chair.
Don't make your bed, you're just gonna sleep in it again later.
I think I'll skip the coffee today. You know, these throw pillows look way better on the floor.
I'm really not that busy. Well, you haven't showered in 3 days, but I think you smell great.
We do have food at home, but let's just go out to eat.
Just brush your teeth whenever you feel like it. Here, take my phone charger and go put it in your room. Oh, just leave your dirty dishes on the counter.
In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
All right, let's all pull on our phones.
Youth sports are so cheap.
Braces are so cheap.
School fees are so cheap. Hey, can you come crawl in bed with me around 2 a.m.? Thanks.
Okay, I just spent 2 hours making dinner, but if you don't like it, that's fine. Just let me know and I'll make you something else.
Don't even bother looking for that. I'm sure it's lost and gone forever.
Can somebody please throw something at my head?
I mean, I can keep track of every single one of your things.
I get a ton of sleep.
I get a ton of gratitude from my children.
I get a ton of unsolicited help with the housework.
Oh, you don't have to hurry up. We're gonna be right on time. Can someone please throw something at the TV?
Thanks for doing the laundry, everyone.
I'm sorry, I can't hear you. Can you use your outside voice?
Fight! Fight! Fight!
The floor of this vehicle is so clean, I can't believe it.
Oh, good. Another trip to the grocery store today. Let's go. Hey, I'm gonna hop in the shower. Does somebody want to come use the bathroom while I'm in here?
Happy Mother's Day. Moms, if your children don't know it, you now need to explain the term sarcasm to them. Today is always a difficult day for the preacher. Not because there's any reluctance to celebrate mothers who exemplify the best of our faith. And as I look around, I see so many examples of that I and this church have been gifted to experience over the years. But there is always that recognition that not everyone's family had such a positive experience of mother. And we also acknowledge that this is a very difficult day for some, who have recently, or even a long time ago, still grieved the loss of their mom. But it is important for us to acknowledge what this day represents and to give thanks to God for all those mothers and those who become that image of motherly love in our lives, to thank God for them and to pray that God will enable us to love that way. I was looking through some different resources, and I came across the story that is often told by one of my favorite inspirational speakers and writers, Tony Campolo. And the story goes like this. He was out doing his thing all over the world and speaking and evangelizing, and his wife Peggy was staying at home with herself and their two children. On rare occasions when his wife would travel with him, she would find herself engaged in conversations with some of the most impressive people from around the world. And on one such trip, she told him that she finds herself feeling intimidated and even questioning her own self-worth when she met these people. And so Tony told her, "Well, honey, why don't you come up with something you could say when you meet them that will let them know that you strongly value what you do and that you feel that it is dramatically urgent, crucial, and important?" So, not long after that, they were at a party, and a woman said to Tony's wife, Peggy, in a rather condescending tone, "Well, my dear, what do you do?" And Tony heard his wife say this, "I am nurturing two homo sapiens into the dominant values of the Judeo-Christian tradition in order that they might become instruments for the transformation of the social order into the kind of eschatological utopia God envisioned from the beginning of time." And the other woman said, "Oh my, I'm just a lawyer." We can downplay and underestimate the value of what it means to be self-sacrificial in our love, especially as it goes into that day in and day out grind of being the mother in a family. And the gospel that we are given today re-echoes that type of love, because it is the type of love that Jesus is calling us all to in today's gospel. Remember that in this section of John's gospel, it is sort of Jesus' last will and testament. It is that long speech with the priestly prayer included that is that which Jesus gives before he is going to have his passion and death. In 24 hours, really, after these speeches, Jesus is gone. And Jesus is able to summarize his life in two sentences. A new commandment: love one another as I have loved you. By this, all will know you are my disciples, that you love one another. It's that simple. It's not easy, but it's very clear and direct. You have heard me over the years many times explain the LLL that I put at the back of my letters to you. It's the ending salutation, with that LLL standing for love, love, love. Something that I learned from my dear departed mother-in-law that we've adapted to that love that Jesus calls us to love God, to love our neighbor, to love ourselves. And this is what Jesus is talking about today. It is not uncommon in the Bible for these final discourses to be given by the heroes of the Bible. The first one's in Genesis. It's Jacob. And he does it with his sons. Joshua does the same. David does the same. And the most famous one is the one that Moses gives. It's almost the entire book of Deuteronomy. It is the final discourse. And John picks up especially on this Moses' final discourse because there's all these commands that are mentioned in Deuteronomy. And of course, we hear that word commands today. So it is with that in mind then that it's pretty clear that this is important stuff. That this way of loving that Jesus calls us to is the ultimate test of if we've truly been his disciples. The other readings that were given today amplify this. To love, love, love everybody. Look at the book of Acts today. The story that we hear in Acts re-emphasizes this nature of God's motherly love as all-inclusive. Sometimes called the Pentecost of the Gentiles. Peter had had an earlier dream and a vision that was confirmed today that God shows no partiality. That God extends God's grace to people of every race and nation. That it's not just for the Jews. It's for the Gentiles and for everyone. We talk about conversion. And really, the conversion of Cornelius and those other Gentiles is superseded really by the conversion that happens in Peter and happens in all those early leaders of the church to understand God's love is for everyone. And then we have this beautiful 1 John reading again. Talking again about the complete and total other-focused nature of God's love. He talks about following commandments again. And the commandment, above all, is the one to love, as God loves. Not a need love. Not the type of love that I'm doing this because I know I'm going to get something out of it. But the type of agape, total focus on the other person, expecting nothing in return. When it comes down to it, the one and only thing that separates us, that distinguishes us as disciples of Jesus, is that unbounded love for all people that we are called to give. It's not easy. John Dominic Crossan, who writes a lot of fancy books and talks about Christianity and what we're supposed to do and what we're supposed to be. Some years ago, he was writing and he pretended that he was having an interview with Jesus about one of John Dominic Crossan's writings. And this is how he poses that particular interview with Jesus. "I've read your book, Dominic," Jesus begins, "and it's quite good. So you're now ready to live by my vision and join me in my program." He responds, "I don't think I have the courage, Jesus, but I did describe it quite well, didn't I? And the method was especially good, wasn't it?" "Thank you, Dominic, for not falsifying the message to suit your own incapacity. That at least is something." "Is it enough, Jesus?" "No, Dominic, it is not. It is quite a challenge we are given. And the gift of having Jesus as one who loves us as with a motherly love, is always ready to forgive, is always ready to help us to start again, that is a great gift. But it becomes for us the ultimate challenge." One of my favorite other stories is one I've told before of this mother who was a single mom and had raised her kids, and they were all so incredibly successful. And on the side, the reporter asked them, "Well, I suppose you love them all equally, making sure they all got the same treatment?" And the mother responded, "Nope. I love them all, each one of them, but not equally. I love the one the most that was down until he was up. I love the one the most that was weak until she was strong. I love the one the most that was hurt until he was healed. I love the one the most that was lost until she was found." It is that type of love. Looking for examples of that love? Just alone in this month of May, in our liturgical calendar, we have so many mothers who give us an example of that type of love. Helena of Constantinople, the mother of Constantine, protector of holy places. Monica, the mother of St. Augustine, who prayed her whole life that her son would get his act together, and he finally did. Frances Perkins, who most of us don't realize, she was a staunch Episcopalian and served under the Roosevelt administration as Secretary of Labor for 12 years, longer than anyone else in the history of our country, and mainly responsible for all the laws and protections we have for safety in the workplace, workers' rights, especially for women and child labor laws, and above all, for this wonderful thing, Social Security. But it doesn't stop there. We have these spiritual mothers that we have examples of in our calendar this particular month. Junia, a first century apostle referred to by Paul in Romans, who traveled extensively and converted many to Christianity by her example. Lydia, mentioned in Paul's writings, who gave hospitality to Paul and his companions. And then these mystics, Mechtilde, Joan of Arc, and not to forget Julian of Norwich. We end the month of May very appropriately with the Feast of the Visitation to Mary, the Mother of Jesus, when Elizabeth and Mary get together. Mary was there to bring Jesus into the world. She was there when he was called out of this world. The love that brought him into the world was the love that was there to love him to the very end. From cradle to grave. It's all about love. So today, we give God thanks for that perfect love expressed in Jesus. We give God thanks for that perfect love exemplified in our lives by those who have modeled that perfect motherly love to us. And we pray to God for the grace to open our arms and our hearts to live that love for others. Amen.